as long as whoever owns this place doesn't come back and kill me.
You're straight, Rum says. We'll radio for a friendly to come get you and take you to the hospital. God willing, you'll see this asshole there in a few hours.
He nods at me. I don't give a shit about a hospital. I cross the room to shake Julius's hand.
I'm sorry I did you that way, man. I was desperate.
He gives me a serious look.
Can't say I wouldn't have done the same for my Margie all those years ago. Do what you gotta do, boy. God bless.
With that, we leave the house and head for the chopper. Everyone's strapped and ready as Tanner tugs the last of the camo netting away, and Leo jumps into the pilot's seat and fires up the engine. I duck under the rotor wash and load up. As the chopper lifts off the helipad, I make a promise to myself. We'll bring Cat home, or they'll bury me at sea. No alternatives.
Chapter 37. Cat. I've cried so many tears that I have none left to fall. My throat is dry and scratchy, and my eyes burn. The last however many hours have been something out of a nightmare. Watching Dane get shot and beaten tore something loose in me, and I'm not sure what it was. My innocence, maybe? It was still dark when we pulled up behind a massive, well-lit yacht. I thought we were going to crash right into it, but instead a huge hatch rose in the back, and we drove right up onto some kind of lift.
"Toy compartment,"
Vander said, with a laugh at my shocked expression. Every word that came out of his mouth made me want to punch him, but with my bound hands and now my bound ankles, that wasn't going to happen. More silent men in black polo shirts, perfectly creased khaki pants, and boat shoes met us inside the toy compartment. They looked just like they should, the preppy staff of a really expensive yacht, until you saw the weapons slung over their shoulders and strapped into the holsters at their sides. I don't know anything about guns, but what they had looked like something you'd see on TV being carried by men guarding a drug lord's compound. Maybe that's just where my mind was going because of what Vander had said about the cartel. Since then, I've been trying to piece it all together, but I keep stumbling over the idea of Dane as a mercenary. At this point, I don't know anything for sure, except that I want to go home. A silent sob jerks in my chest as I sit numbly in the stately cabin they dumped me in a couple of hours ago. At least I think it was only a couple of hours. I've lost track of time, and my head keeps bobbing as I nod in and out. I've worked at the bindings on my wrists and ankles until blood dripped onto the cream-colored chair and matching plush carpet. Sorry, not sorry. Don't freaking tie me to a chair next time, assholes. Finally, the door opens, and I shrink back into the cushions.
At least you can't do anything stupid while you're tied up.
Vander's accent is stronger now. Was he disguising it before? The door opens again, and this time it's someone unfamiliar, a woman who's built like a tank and could probably clean up inside a UFC cage.
April is going to assist in getting you cleaned up so we can photograph you for final bidding.
His words unleash another round of chills skating over my skin. Final bidding?
How else do you think we're going to sell you, Katerina? Auction, clearly.
Vander waves the other woman forward.
Come, April. Let's get this started. We don't have all day.
What is it with bitches and A-names? I swear to God, if I ever get home, I'm going to avoid every single one of them for the rest of my life. Oh, your name is Amy? Sorry, can't be friends with you. Allegra? Not only are you on allergy medicine, you're probably a cunt. Andrea? Let me call the cops in advance, because I assume you're going to try to kill me. The thoughts ripping through my head clue me in to the fact that I'm losing my shit. My body shakes as she takes another step forward. Please don't touch me. Just tell me what you need me to do. I hate that my voice trembles, but at this point, my reserves of inner strength are tapped out. Vander studies me for a moment, no doubt trying to determine my sincerity. He must see the truth because he jerks his head toward a closed door.
Bathroom is through there. Go shower. There's nothing you can use as a weapon, but April will introduce you to a new level of pain if you try anything at all.
He closes the distance between us as he talks, finally reaching out to grip my chin with two fingers.
Understand me, Cat.
I nod. Vander straightens and stretches out a hand, palm up. April pulls a wicked-looking blade from a sheath at her side, and holding it by the tip, places the handle in Vander's hand. It takes everything I have to muster one last show of courage and not shrink away and squeeze my eyes shut. I watch as he slices through the ropes and tape binding me. The skin on my wrists is flayed and dripping with blood. When removing the restraints tears off small pieces, I flinch, despite trying not to.
Idiot.
Over his shoulder, he tells April,
"Make sure you get a first aid kit and wrap these up when she's done showering."
April nods. Is she mute? The question enters my mind as Vander crouches to slice through my ankle restraints and peels them off, cursing again and sending stabs of pain through my legs.
Get in the fucking shower. April will have something for you to wear after she cleans these up. Don't do anything stupid.
With his last warning delivered, Vander rises and strides from the room, slamming the door behind him. April's dark eyes meet mine as she jerks her head toward the bathroom door. Go! Don't make me hurt you!
She speaks.
I stand slowly and carefully, hoping I don't fall on my face and give her a reason to kill me. I'm not going to let them kill me. Dane is still out there. As I walk toward the bathroom, the tears I thought I'd cried out burn behind my eyes. Unless he's already dead. No, I don't believe that. I force the thoughts away and step into the opulent white and gold bathroom. Fluffy white towels are rolled and tucked into niches in the wall near the shower enclosure. I make a mistake, glancing into the mirror above the sink, and freeze. A wide, dark bruise is beginning to show on my cheekbone. My eyes are bloodshot. The corner of my mouth is bleeding. How is he going to hide all that for the photos? The obvious answer occurs to me. Photoshop. He's going to Photoshop me. Human Trafficking 101. My shoulders slump, and I've never looked more defeated. Fuck them. Fuck this. I swallow back the pity and straighten. I'm better than this. I won't cower.
Get in the fucking shower.
April's reflection appears in the mirror as she steps closer.
Don't waste my time, or I promise you'll regret it.
I turn for the shower, and without caring that she's going to see me naked, I strip the torn and dirty cover-up over my head and drop it on the floor before reaching for the door. After turning the water on, I wait for it to get hot before stepping into the stream. It stings my cuts and torn skin, but within moments, I'm thankful for it. I reach for the soap, wishing it was as easy to scrub away today as the dirt marking my skin. I try to stretch out my shower as long as I can, until April bangs on the glass enclosure and throws a towel halfway over it.
Wrap it up. Food is here.
Until the moment she said food, I would have sworn that there was no way I could choke down a single bite of anything. But as soon as April steps out of the bathroom, the aroma of something amazing wafts into the room, and my stomach growls.
Really?
I say it out loud as I shut off the water and reach for the towel. Apparently kidnapping doesn't slow down my appetite. I'll be led like the fatted calf to the sacrificial altar. At this point, I know my brain can't really comprehend what's happening, because all I can think about is stuffing myself until I can't eat another bite. And pray that somewhere out there, Dane is still breathing, and maybe, if there's any kind of divine guidance, attempting another rescue. I secure the towel around myself after drying off and step back into the bedroom where my bare feet sink into the plush white carpet. Well, white except for the bloodstains I left on it. Maybe there'll be evidence for some CSI unit if this yacht is ever searched.
How are you going to explain that, Vander?
A tray is set up on a small table with two chairs on the opposite side of the room where I was tied up, and April nods at the chair, going back to wordless communication. I sit and unwrap a linen napkin from around a knife and fork. A knife. It's not much, but it's something. I pick up the fork as a tremor grips my hand. When the fork lands on the silver tray with a metallic clatter, I squeeze my eyes shut for a beat and suck in a breath to calm myself. I think this is the longest I've gone since my mother's diagnosis without worrying about whether I have ALS. Probably because I might not live long enough to find out. Pushing the thought out of my head, I pick up the fork again and dig into a steaming mound of scrambled eggs with what looks like grilled vegetables, crusty French bread, and jam. In my peripheral vision, I see April watching me from her cross-armed position at the door. I shovel in bite after bite, testing the limits of my stomach, not stopping until only a few breadcrumbs remain. Another knock comes at the door, and I turn to see April open it. "Clothes and first aid kit, as requested." She grunts in response to the female voice and takes an armful of fabric and a red bag through the small opening before shutting the door again. I close my fingers around the butter knife and slip my hand under the table to hide it in the folds of my towel, then pretend to pick up crumbs with my fingers to get every morsel. April walks toward me, but pauses to toss the clothes on the bed before reaching the table. She shoves aside my breakfast tray and drops the red bag on the table.
"Give me your wrists."
I hold out both hands, although with some apprehension. With that wicked knife at her hip and the angry expression on her face, she looks like she could just as easily slice a vein and leave me here to bleed out as administer first aid. She unzips the bag, ignoring my compliance, and pulls out a bottle of peroxide, some antibiotic ointment, and bandages. She grabs my hands, flips open the cap on the peroxide, and douses the cuts.
"Shit!"
The curse escapes my lips, and my instinct is to jerk away. She holds fast, not letting me move as she dumps more on them.
"That's for thinking I wouldn't notice the butter knife was gone."
She releases one hand.
"Put it back on the table, or I'll make this hurt a hell of a lot more."
My small victory crushed, I do what she tells me. What the hell did I think I was going to accomplish with the knife? Spread butter on her toast? Pathetic cat. I return the knife to the tray, and she flips my hand over and liberally applies the peroxide to the rest of the raw marks. They don't burn as badly, but I'm surely not looking forward to more ministrations from Nurse Hatchetface. The rest of her movements are quick and efficient as she smears antibiotic ointment on all my wounds and wraps them up. Her expression never changes, not even when she tosses the first aid supplies back in the bag.
"Get dressed. Don't do anything stupid. Try to stab me with a fork, and I'll blind you in one eye. They'll never even notice. I'll give you 5 minutes."
With that threat leveled, she picks up the tray and heads out the door. I don't waste any time crossing to the bed and picking up the white linen trousers and lace camisole lying there. There's also a diaphanous white shirt that feels like it's made mostly of air, a lacy white bra, and white and gold sandals. One thing is noticeably missing: panties. When the door swings open moments after I'm fully dressed, it isn't April, it's Vander.
"Finally behaving like a good little slave. I thought I'd never see it."
I shoot eye daggers at him, hoping he'll see defiance and rage in my gaze, and not the fear that's threatening to overtake me.
Chapter 38. Dane. From the seat across from me, Rome fills me in on everything they've learned.
"There's no Vander Iman. We're still digging into his real identity, but the trail we're coming up with leads to South Africa, with ties to the Middle East. Bad dude. Bad shit." Coming from Rome, that's saying something. He's not real big on assessing client morals when he's taking their money, but there are lines even he won't cross. Human trafficking is main business? Can't tell for sure, but it's definitely part of it. What about the boat? Sure enough, it's called Plan B. It was boarded by the U.S. Coast Guard about 2 years ago, and automatic weapons were seized, but no charges were ever brought. The paperwork on that gets real shady, and by shady, I mean there's nothing left. If we had Ariana at the keyboard, we'd probably have more, but my Central American crew wasn't able to pull anything. I need to recruit a new hacker down here. Preferably female and hot. Ever since Rome first told me that Ariana has been MIA, it's been eating at me. You think Ari sold me out? From Rome's serious expression, it's definitely a possibility he's already considered. We can't find her, man. You know she's got family in Israel still. I've got contacts there that keep eyes on them when they've got time, and word is her little sister is off the grid. No sign of her. Tanner sits up. You think they went after Ari's family and you didn't say shit? Rome shrugs. Don't know what happened, but I can't fucking help the girl if she doesn't ask for it. She's part of the team.
And if she leaked intel, she'll face the consequences when we find her. But that shit is all for after we get DC's woman back. Do you know where they're heading? Rome shakes his head. But if I were them, I'd be going toward Cuba. Plenty of people pouring in now and not a lot of oversight. It'll be a good choice. So that's the course we're following. If you're wrong and we lose her, you can shoot me yourself. Rome's instincts are top-notch, which is why he started in this business way too young. Now he's a living legend in certain circles. From the cockpit, Leo yells, "We got eyes on a big motherfucking yacht with a helipad on top by the name of Plan B." My arms go tense. It's time. "They got eyes on us yet?" "Not yet. We're coming in hot. Lock and load." Rome, Tanner, and I grab our weapons and get ready. This isn't the first time we've landed on a boat in the middle of the ocean, but last time was a bitch. We all added a few more scars to our collection after that mission. "Let's do this." They got eyes on us now. I'm gonna clear the deck." Loud percussion from the machine guns punches through the noise of rotors. "Got a few, but they're swarming like ants." Another round of fire. "Clear for landing." Concord pitches his voice like a woman as the helipad comes into view. "Please don't bump your head when you disembark the aircraft." Gotta love those rich fucks who think they need helipads everywhere. "Go, go, go!" Rome yells, and we're all out of the helicopter except Leo, who stays with the bird to shoot anyone who tries to fuck with our exfil plans. Guys in black polos and khaki pants like the ones who overran the beach come toward us. My leg screams with pain, and I use it to fuel every step. We clear the deck. It's time to find her.
Chapter 39. Cat. Vander leads me out into the hallway. I'm dreading this photo session of his, and searching everywhere for some kind of weapon. A small fire extinguisher is mounted to the wall just ahead of us, and my brain works through whether I could grab it quick enough to bash him over the head before he noticed. That's when the onslaught comes. The yelling and screaming from above us can't drown out the gunfire. It sounds like the boat has morphed into a video game. Instinctively, I hit the deck. Please, God, please be Dane. Clearly, Vander's experience in life is different from mine because he draws the gun on his hip. No fucking way. He reaches down and wraps a hand around my upper arm, yanking me to my feet and dragging me behind him as he moves down the hall, my heart hammering in my chest. The fire extinguisher is right there. It's small, about the size of a 2-liter bottle, but it's something. With a prayer on my lips, I pretend to stumble, throwing myself toward the wall and wrapping my hands around the red metal as I catch my fall. The bracket breaks, and suddenly I'm not pretending anymore when I trip forward, going to my knees. The canister lands beneath me with a thud.
What the fuck?
Vander swings around as I wrap both hands around the cold metal and swing for his crotch. He's too confused by what the hell I could possibly be doing to react before the fire extinguisher connects with his balls. Vander goes down. Hard. His gun skids down the wooden floor of the hallway, back in the direction of the room we came from. I pop up and scramble after it. With one hand on his nuts, Vander flails with the other, reaching for my newly bandaged ankle.
You little bitch!
I kick off his grip, falling forward as I go flying again. My hand lands on his gun, and I wrap my fingers around it. I roll over and sit up to point it at his head.
Back off,
I say through gritted teeth. Vander lifts one hand above his head, the other still cupping his nuts.
Oh, little cat, you're a feisty one, but can you really kill a man?
I don't blink. I pull the trigger. It clicks, but nothing happens. When I squeeze it again, Vander's laugh fills the hallway.
Safety first, cat.
He pounces at me, and I kick upward as hard as I can, catching him in the jaw. His head snaps back, and he lands on my legs as dead weight. Oh my God, did I kill him? Sounds of more yelling and gunshots come from above. They're getting closer. I pull myself along the floor and out from under Vander. As I rise to my feet, a man dressed all in black bursts into the hallway. He stops when he sees me.
Cat.
My fingers are still curled around the gun. I don't know where the safety is, but if he's a bad guy, I'll find it and shoot him.
Lower the weapon. I'm with the good guys. DC will be fucking happy to see you.
How do I know? My entire body is shaking, and the barrel of the gun bounces in the air between us.
I'm Rome. I was at your wedding.
My brain spins, trying to remember, but it's too much.
No one was at our wedding. We eloped.
My thumb feels around the side of the gun for a button or a switch or something.
He didn't want us to meet you, but we couldn't let our brother take the plunge without us there. You wore a short white dress, and when you tripped on a step about 2 feet from him, he caught you.
Oh my God, he couldn't know that unless... The memory of the random, hot, ripped guys who had been hanging around the resort about the time of the ceremony filters into my head.
You were there.
He nods.
We gotta go. Give me the gun.
I pray to God I'm making the right choice as I lower the gun and hand it to him. He shoves it in his pants.
Now come on, follow me.
To someone else, or maybe into a radio, he says,
Package acquired. Moving out. Let's wrap this shit up and go home. Not yet.
Vander's voice comes from behind us as hot pain slices along the side of my thigh. We both turn, and I'm confused because instead of running toward us, Vander is running down the hallway away from us.
Fuck. Cover your ears.
I do what Rome says, and he unloads bullets in the direction of a fleeing Vander.
Come on, let's move.
Even covering my ears, they still ring from the noise. I look down, and there's a tear in my pants and blood soaking the white material. Vander's knife is embedded in the hallway floor, 2 feet ahead of me. Rome follows my gaze.
Fuck, can you walk?
His knife sliced me as he threw it? Whatever, not important. I'm still breathing.
I'm fine. Get me out of here. Good girl. Stay on me like a fucking shadow. I'll block anything that comes from the front. They won't shoot you from behind. You're too valuable.
I don't have another second to think about his plan because he's moving, and my leg burns as I follow him. I suck up the pain and force myself to keep up.
Get the bird ready. We're coming. Exfil in two.
Again, I assume Rome is talking to someone on the other end of a radio.
Yeah, DC, I got her. Get your ass to the bird.
Shots still come in bursts, and when a man in the uniform I've come to associate with evil darts out into the hallway, Rome doesn't hesitate. I cover my ears instinctively, and he shoots. I step over the body as we head up a set of stairs to the deck. The rotor blades of a helicopter are spinning, and two more men in black are clearing the deck. One of them limps as he fires, and I know it's Dane. Rome pushes me ahead of him, and I scramble up another set of stairs toward the helicopter.
Get in the bird, now. Keep low.
I run for it, and bullets ping off fiberglass around me. The men fire back as I dive into the open door of the helicopter. A man in the pilot's seat turns to face me.
Hey, sweetness. Good to meet you officially. Strap your ass in. We're about to get the fuck off this boat.
Rome climbs in.
Everyone's coming. Get ready.
Vander bursts out of a door, spraying bullets everywhere. 10 feet shy of the helicopter, Dane stumbles backward, landing on his ass, and dread rushes through me. Dane's been hit.
Chapter 40. Dane. Fuck. Even though the shots hit my vest, they still knock the air from my lungs. Bullets are flying from all directions as Vander races across the deck, dodging them before taking cover and moving my way. Tanner rushes toward me, sliding to his knees. You hit? Vest! Let's get the fuck out of here. He yanks me up by my good arm. I only lose track of Vander for a second, but it's too long. Tanner freezes when the pistol jams against the back of his head. You move, he dies. Don't fucking listen to him, Tanner yells. You willing to sacrifice your friend to save your own life? Shots come from behind me, taking out the rest of the men, but Vander positions himself in front of Tanner and me, using us to block anyone from taking him out from the chopper. I had to watch as one of our people died before, and I'm sure as hell not doing it today. The gun in my hand is empty. He'll see if I go for the other one at my hip. I glance down at the knife on Tanner's belt. Even with your team, you couldn't manage to best me. Vargas and I will laugh over this after he feeds what's left of you to his dogs. Kill him, DC. I don't care if he fucking shoots me as long as I die knowing this asshole is dead, too. I don't think so. Vander laughs and cuts his gaze to Tanner for a beat. It's the moment I need. Not a fucking chance. I palm the knife and bury it in Vander's throat before he can pull the trigger. The gun falls from his hand to the deck, and his body crumples behind it. "Let's get the hell out of here," Tanner yells. He shoves his shoulder under my armpit, and we head for the bird, its rotors turning. Tanner shoves me toward the door, and Rome helps pull me inside. "Where the fuck is Concord?" When the last member of our team dives inside the opposite door, Rome yells, "Go!" And the chopper lifts off the deck. From my spot on the floor, my eyes find Kat's. She reaches out, and I grab her hand. "I knew you'd come for me." I haul myself into the seat beside her and pull her against my body. Closing my eyes, I breathe her in. She's everything that's good and pure in my life, and I almost lost her. Never again. No more secrets. I'll always come for you. "Hold on to your asses, because this might get bumpy." We all look back toward the yacht as Concord points. We're just out of range as it explodes into a ball of fire. Kat meets my gaze, and I close my hand around hers.
"It's really over."
I nod. "Let's go home."
Chapter 41. Kat. "Do I want to know who this plane belongs to?" I ask after the captain of the Gulfstream announces that we'll be taking off, and the flight attendant in a simple navy dress who gave us bottles of water disappears. Knowing Rome, it could be anyone. As the jet hurtles down the runway, I'm reminded of my fear as we took off in the Cessna what seems like a million years ago. Has it only been 2.5 days? How is that even possible? Dane twines his fingers through mine and squeezes as we lift off the ground. "I'm okay," I whisper in the quiet of the cabin. "Maybe I just wanted to hold your hand." He lifts it to his mouth and presses a kiss to my knuckles as his eyes meet mine. My husband, the mercenary. With his face battered and his black shirt ripped from where the bullets tore through and hit his body armor, I have no trouble believing it. "Why didn't you tell me?" Without any elaboration, Dane knows exactly what I'm talking about. He lowers our hands to the armrest between us and shifts to face me. "I had to protect you." "By lying to me?" Dane finally breaks eye contact and looks at the tan-colored panels of the ceiling of the jet. "I should never have been with you to begin with. Shouldn't have asked to see you again after Mexico. Hell, I shouldn't have stayed at that resort longer than the 2 days I was supposed to be there. But I couldn't leave." His laugh is forced, and my heart sinks. Does he regret it all? But Dane continues. "Rome wanted to kick my ass for disobeying orders, but I told him to go fuck himself, because I'd just met the woman I was going to marry, and I wasn't letting her go." He looks down at me, seeing the confusion on my face. "I didn't think I had a choice. None of us had been in relationships since we started with the team, and it was an unwritten rule that you stayed unattached, because that opened up a whole mess of complications that weren't worth it." Dane meets my gaze and swallows. "But you were worth it, and I knew I would make it work any way I could. If I were a better man, maybe I could have walked away from you and let you find someone else. But I knew from that first night you were mine, and I'd do whatever it took to keep you in my life. I should apologize for that, but I can't. The only thing I can apologize for is not telling you everything from the beginning. I didn't want to drag the best part of my life down into the darkness." "Was any of it true? The stories you told me? Was it all a lie?" His grip on my hand tightens. "The only thing I outright lied to you about was my job. Everything else was the truth, or as close to the truth as I could manage. I hated lying to you, but I figured the guilt was worth it to keep you safe." Something else occurred to me, and I jerked back, pulling my hand from his. "Is your name even Dane Cross? Are we even really married?" "Yes. Absolutely fucking yes to both." He must sense the question I'm going to ask next, because he continues. "When I traveled back and forth to my missions, I used an alias. I was so fucking careful to make sure no one from that world could find a trail back to you. The only way someone could have connected the dots was from the inside." I nod, feeling somewhat reassured that at least not everything was a lie, but I have to know the rest of it. "Were you ever going to tell me the truth?" Dane inhales and lets the air out. "I wanted to, but you were in no shape to hear it." "What do you mean?" I walked away from my team and working in the field a year ago because I left them hanging, and we lost one of our men and two clients.
When Benji died, I say, understanding dawning.
Chapter 42. Dane. None of this is easy to tell Kat, but the weight is lifting with every confession. The only thing I can hope is that my lies won't cost me everything. I've just gotten her back, and the promise of what the future holds if we can weather this storm is more than I've ever hoped for. So I tell her what happened while I was sitting in that airport, watching Luis fall to his death with a 6-year-old boy and the mom diving after them. I wasn't there when you needed me, and I wasn't there for my team either. I failed everyone, all in the same fucking day. I've never felt so helpless as I did sitting in that airport. There was nothing I could do for anyone. When I came home, I vowed I'd make things right between us. I would tell you everything. But I couldn't. Unshed tears gather in Kat's eyes.
Because I was already in self-preservation mode.
I nod. You were barely holding it together. You needed those walls to make you feel safe, so I let you have them. Let you stay behind them until you found your strength. I fucked up. I should have been your strength, and I wasn't.
And when I told you to leave, and you did.
Her words come out slow and measured, as though she's putting together the pieces. I went to Luis's funeral, and then the next day I stood on a hill and watched a man bury his wife and son from 100 yards away, because he swore to Rome he'd have anyone who worked for him arrested if they showed. Kat's hand finds her way back into mine.
And you needed me. I wasn't there for you either.
I shake my head.
I didn't tell you. You didn't know. I'm your wife, and when you're going through hell, I should be by your side. I vowed I would stand with you for better or for worse.
And I started this whole thing on a lie.
I never told you I could have ALS and be sentencing us to something horrific.
Her shoulders straighten and her lips press together.
We both kept secrets. Maybe I wasn't hiding a different life, but I'm not innocent in this either.
This isn't a contest to see who fucked up more, Kat.
No, it's not. This is where we get it all out, so we're not dragging this baggage behind us for the next 50 years. I mean, if I have 50 years.
Then she blinks.
If you even want 50 more years.
I turn and bury my hand into her hair.
I want every day I can get, whether it's 20,000 or 20. I love you, Kat. I love you too.
I lower my lips to hers, but Kat presses a finger to my mouth.
But I need you to be honest with me. No more lies, not even to protect me. We're in this together.
I press a kiss to her finger and pull it away from my lips.
No more lies. I almost lost you because of that, and I'll never take that chance again. You promise?
I swear on my life. My mouth takes hers, and on her lips I taste forgiveness and hope.
Chapter 43. Kat. 2 weeks later. When we landed in Houston at a private airfield I didn't know existed, a car was waiting to take us to a small but swanky clinic I also didn't know about. On the ride there, I asked Dane how it was possible we could get back into the country without having passports. His response? A lopsided grin.
When you know people like Rome, certain details don't matter.
I still haven't decided how much I really want to know about Rome. When I was concerned about going home if someone on the inside had betrayed Dane, my husband just smiled and told me that he didn't trust anyone enough to give them our real home address, including the records at the office. The address they had was of an empty bank foreclosure he'd bought, located 30 minutes away. And when I asked about my car being registered to our home address and that being trackable, Dane just smiled.
It's taken care of. No one can track you.
The rest of it, Dane has told me. It came out in a deluge, and I sat back in awe. My husband is a certified badass. In the last 2 weeks, I've learned more about him than I did in 2.5 years. So you're telling me that the note from the hostess was the intel that you were waiting for that first night at dinner in Mexico? I ask from the driver's seat of my car. Words like intel are now apparently part of my vocabulary.
The whole reason I was there. We had information that one of the cartels was using an employee at the resort to pick out kidnapping targets with money, and it was my job to make him rethink his choices.
Do I want to know how you did that? Dane will tell me as much as I want to know, but it didn't take me long to realize I don't need to know everything.
I didn't kill him, if that's what you're wondering.
All the kid wanted was to make enough money to pay a coyote to get his mom and sister over the border into the U.S. So we arranged it for him. But instead of having him to stay behind, he went with. They're all living in New Mexico, legally, I might add, and his sister is getting married next month. The story gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling I didn't initially have when I learned he was a mercenary. Sure, they take money to do jobs, and some of the people they take money from aren't people Dane would ever want me to know, but even Rome has his own moral code, regardless of how loophole-filled it might be. Were there other times I didn't know? Two others when we were dating, the Dominican and Martinique. Mind-boggling. But I'm not holding it against him. At this point, I'm impressed that I never picked up on it. And our wedding? He shakes his head. Rome gave me such hell over the whole relationship, which is why I kept you off the grid. I didn't think they'd come even if I asked. And then there would have been the small matter of trying to explain to you who the hell they were. Friends from the office didn't quite cut it. But they came anyway. Dane smiles. They couldn't let a brother take the plunge without being there. I wish I'd known. I pull up to a stop sign. Which way? Take a left. Excitement bubbles up inside me that I'm finally going to see his office. Dane is mostly healed and going stir-crazy from being at home and taking it easy, per the doctor's orders, and me forbidding him to do anything strenuous after sustaining 2 gunshot wounds. When he said he needed to get something from the office, I begged for the chance to tag along. He's been in this office for a year, and I've never seen it. He would have said no, except that Ariana has been tracked back to Israel, and according to Rome's message this morning, Vargas is no longer a concern. Anya is still a ghost, but they've determined she's not a viable threat. Basically, we got the all clear, and the cloud that's been hanging over our life has lifted. Also, miracle of miracles, I've learned to delegate. I didn't tell my own team that I returned early, mostly because I looked like I'd gone up against a heavyweight champ and lost, and they'd thrived without my constant micromanagement. I hired great people, and left with autonomy, they kicked ass. So I extended my vacation for as long as necessary for Dane to heal, only working from home occasionally when an issue required my attention. Which building? The gray one with the white roof. I pull into the parking lot of a crappy little building near the port. This is it? Don't judge a book by its cover. Come on. Dane climbs out of the car, and I follow him up to the door. The security measures aren't obvious, but Dane explains all the sensors and biometrics to me as he opens the office and lets us inside. He does a quick sweep to make sure nothing has been disturbed, and finally lets me check it out. I can see why he said don't judge a book by its cover. While the reception area looks as run down as the outside, once we're inside the inner sanctum, it's 100 times nicer. The shiny concrete floor is gray with stained black marbling throughout. Dane's office is done in gray and black, with a giant desk and 2 computer monitors that lift out of it when he presses a hidden button. The paneling on the wall slides back to reveal 12 flat TV screens that I assume can play different live feeds at once. So, what exactly do you do here? I watch the feeds to try to spot any additional threats. I man a drone on occasion to get an aerial view and send it through to the feed in Central America. We take turns, because I can't cover everything 24/7. I also interface with the insurance companies, who don't want to pay out on their kidnap and ransom policies, and would rather pay us to extract the targets before the ransom is due. That's a good 80% of the business we do now. It wasn't always like that, but we've gotten to the point where we can pick and choose jobs. And those nights you work late? I'm usually sitting here watching the feeds or wading through contract bullshit that Rome doesn't want to deal with. I open my mouth and shut it again, not sure I want to ask the question, but Dane sees it on my face. What? I know you feel responsible for them losing Luis and 2 of the clients, so why do you keep doing this? Watching from afar when there's nothing you can do if something goes wrong. Dane lowers himself into the chair behind his desk, and I sit in one of the club chairs across from him. After that mission went south and I wasn't there, I figured I had 2 options. Walk away from you and make sure I was always there when they needed me, or walk away from the field so they never relied on me that way again. His dark brown eyes drill into mine. Leaving you was never a real choice, so I took myself out of the equation for operations.
But why not remove yourself completely?
Maybe I shouldn't push, but it's something I don't understand. Dane shrugs. They're my brothers. I've spent years watching their backs, and walking away completely would have been the easy way out. I guess this was the only way I could try to keep them safe without being there.
Everything he wasn't saying came through loud and clear. You're punishing yourself.
Dane's eyes widen when I say it.
You are. This is your penance for not being there when they needed you. You've sentenced yourself to this purgatory where you punish yourself over and over.
I guess you could look at it like that.
I stand and come around the desk. Baby, none of those guys hold it against you. I saw them. One call, and they were there for you without a second thought or hesitation. They've forgiven you.
I lay my hand against the side of his face.
You need to forgive yourself. You are not responsible for what happened to that little boy and his mom. You don't know what would have happened if you had been there.
I wouldn't have made the same mistake. Luis was inexperienced.
I press my finger to his lips. You can't know. None of us can. A sinkhole in the jungle is a freak occurrence. You have to let go of the guilt or it's going to drag you down. I just got you back, and I don't want to lose you again. If you can't do it for yourself, do it for us.
Chapter 44. Dane. Kat's words hit me so hard I can feel the impact. What good am I doing anyone holding on to this? She's right. Rome doesn't blame me. He's grateful to have me watching over their ops, not because he wants to punish me, but because it's the only way I would stay part of the team. Luis was young and inexperienced, but no one could have predicted that sinkhole or how things would go down. I close my eyes for several long moments, and then I let it go, completely release the guilt and responsibility. I hadn't left that day without Rome's blessing. I'd followed every protocol, and Luis had jumped at his opportunity to prove himself. What happened after that was out of my hands. I may never forget the feeling of helplessness I had sitting in that airport, but forcing myself to relive it every day isn't helping anyone. I cut both of Kat's cheeks and pull her face to mine. What did I do to deserve you? I don't let her answer before I take her lips and bury myself in the kiss. I haven't had her since we got home because she was adamant that she didn't want to hurt me or worsen my injuries. But I'm done waiting. I stand from the chair and lift her onto the desk. She pulls her lips away. Babe, you should be worrying about how fast you can strip out of those leggings before I tear them off you. Kat's blue eyes go wide before heat flames in them. Right here? I nod slowly. Right now. It doesn't take more than that. I reach for the band of her leggings, and she lifts her butt up long enough for me to pull them down. After a swift tug for each of her boots, she kicks them off, and I'm left with my gorgeous wife, naked from the waist down. You're a bad girl, getting naked on the boss's desk, waiting for him to come back so you could tempt him into fucking you. Kat leans back on both elbows and spreads her legs.
I heard he was hungry and I thought he might want some pussy to hold him over until lunch.
She follows my lead so effortlessly, and all I can think is fuck yes.
Chapter 45. Kat. Damn right he wants this sweet pussy.
Dane's voice comes out as a growl before he lowers his face between my thighs and devours. I don't know where the role play comes from, but I don't care. I'm so turned on and dying for my husband, there's nothing I wouldn't do right now. His lips close around my clit, sucking hard as he brings a finger up to plunge inside me. Dane knows exactly what it takes to get me off in record time. His finger sweeps up to stroke my G-spot, and in less than 3 minutes, I'm arching up, yelling out my orgasm. When he lifts my head, he smiles.
I thought you were supposed to keep quiet so no one else knows what we're doing in here.
I bite my lip. I couldn't help it, sir. You're so good at that.
I think you need to be punished for being such a naughty girl. We could get caught. What would people think if they knew you were fucking the boss?
Punished? My voice is a little weaker, but inside I'm vibrating with excitement. Dane nods and slides my ass toward the edge of the desk.
Touch the floor, and then turn over. I want to see that sweet ass in the air. I do as he says. The whole time my brain is spinning. Is he going to... Before I can form the question in my head, Dane's hand lands on my left butt cheek with a stinging smack. He rubs my burning cheek until the sting turns to pure heat and my inner muscles clench. Another smack on the right, same follow-up, and then another and another until my entire ass is burning with the most erotic punishment I can imagine. Dane's hand sweeps between my legs.
Baby, you're dripping from me. You like when I show you how a naughty girl gets punished, don't you?
I push back against his hand, wanting his fingers inside me, and Dane presses two in.
Fuck my fingers. Show me how you want to take my cock.
Bucking my hips, I fuck myself on his fingers until I near the edge. Dane can tell, and pulls free.
You're not coming again until I'm buried inside you.
I start to lift up, but his hand at the small of my back holds me down.
No, I'm going to fuck you just like this, bent over my desk, your ass in the perfect position.
When he says your ass, his fingers, wet with my juices, circle the hole we've never tried, making it slick. I still, and Dane's deep voice rumbles through me.
You're going to take one of my fingers in this tight ass while I fuck you. I promise you're going to love it, and you're going to beg for it again.
He removes his hand from my back, and I hear the hiss of his zipper going down before he presses the thick head of his cock against my entrance.
Can you handle that, you naughty girl?
At this point, I'd say anything for him to sink his cock inside me, and a whispered yes leaves my lips.
Good.
Without warning, Dane thrusts, and my back bows with the delicious invasion.
So tight, so wet.
He fucks into me, and with each stroke I want to beg for more, beg for him to touch me, beg for him to send me over the edge. But instead, his thumb presses there again, nearly slipping inside. With a swift inhalation, I brace, but Dane's already reaching around to find my clit and strumming it as his hips piston against mine. So many sensations. Too many. The tip of his thumb breaches my ass, and my nerve endings spark with pleasure.
Oh, God!
Dane's thrusts increase in pace, and I wrap my fingers around the edges of the dark wood to hold on as my body is overwhelmed. I scream his name as I come. Dane pumps inside me over and over until he yells out his climax, and I can feel him pulsating inside me.
Sweet Jesus. I don't know what exactly just happened, but I'd be good with it happening every day, say, forever.
Dane presses a kiss between my shoulder blades.
You okay, baby?
I move my head, meaning to nod, but my cheek is stuck to the desk now. I might even leave a drool mark, and I can't find it in me to care.
You sure?
I nod again.
Never been better.
Dane chuckles as he pulls free from my body, and I decide it's my new favorite sound as we clean up. It's definitely better than the sound of the woman's voice who speaks from the doorway when I slip on my second boot.
I hope I'm not interrupting.
Chapter 46. Dane. I jerk my head up to see Ariana standing in the doorway, her gun leveled at Kat where she stands directly in front of me. What the hell? Actually, I don't care if I am interrupting. Rome tracked her to Israel and had a local operator going after her. There's no way she should be in the States right now. Surprised to see me, boss? She glances at Kat. He never used his desk for anything this exciting before. I guess near-death experiences really do change people. Too bad this one won't be near. Why'd you do it, Ari? Money? Blackmail? She knows exactly what I'm talking about. Why did I contact Vargas and let him know there was a perfect opportunity to get revenge? That takes the blackmail option off the table. I nod. You don't even know, do you? Know what? It was my turn to take everything from you since you did it to me. What the hell are you talking about? She steps forward, her gun held steadily at Kat's head. Luis. Like it has 100 times, the memory of watching him fall to his death plays through my head. Ariana would have seen it too, working at the Central American Ops headquarters, where they worked together. The pieces come together. You and Luis. She nods. We were going to get married, have a family. Rome's non-fraternization policy wasn't going to stop you, I take it. I was going to quit as soon as I found another job. Luis would stay, and there would be no problem. But we never got the chance because you killed him. Hearing someone else level the same accusation I'd directed at myself so many times would have cut deep only days before. But Kat had finally gotten through to me. I didn't kill him. I wasn't even there. Ariana takes another step toward us, and I wrap one arm around Kat, bringing her against my chest while reaching under the desk with the other hand. You should have been there. It should have been you. He wasn't ready. It was all her fault. The gun quivers in Ariana's hand, and now I understand why she dragged Kat into the whole mess to begin with. So for revenge, you arranged for us both to be kidnapped and her to be sold and me transported to Vargas to kill me. I did what I had to do. Take two lives to make up for an accident. Luis would be disgusted by you. She shakes her head and the gun wobbles. He would be proud that I got revenge, but you had to screw that up too. So you came to work with me when I left the field because you wanted revenge. Ariana smiles, and it's pure evil. How did I miss it for a year? Because I was too blind to see anything through my guilt. Keep your enemies closer, I believe the saying goes. Now you both pay. She squeezes the trigger as I throw Kat to the floor and raise the gun taped under my desk to fire back. There's only a click. Ariana's bullet makes contact, slamming into my shoulder. Should have checked your weapon first, boss. She sights in on me again, but before she can pull the trigger, another shot fires. Ariana is thrown backward onto the floor, blood pooling around her. I look down to see Kat crouching on the floor, the revolver she started carrying everywhere 2 weeks ago in her shaking hands. She looks up at me. I knew I didn't like her.
Epilogue. Kat. 3 months later. How am I going to tell him? The test results shake in my hand. The last 3 months have been unusually quiet after all the craziness, and now this. I lower it to the table and flex my hands into fists to stop the shaking, then drop into a chair. The garage door goes up as Dane pulls into the driveway. He has finally recovered from his most recent gunshot wound, and I swore that better be the last one. He agreed.
Baby, I'm home,
he yells 2 minutes later when he opens the door from the garage into the house. My throat seems frozen, unable to yell back. How am I going to tell him? I ask myself again. Dane finds me in the kitchen and stops.
What's wrong?
I'm terrible at hiding anything from him now, and we promised no more secrets between us. I pick up the test from the table and hold it in the air.
What the hell is that? Wait a minute.
Dane looks up from what I'm holding to meet my gaze.
Is that...
I'm pregnant. His entire face lights up, and he yanks me out of the chair and hauls me up in his arms. I lose my grip on the pregnancy test, and it falls to the tile floor.
Are you serious?
I nod. Yes, I took 6 of them.
Of course you did.
He spins me around the kitchen as we both break into laughter. It reminds me of the day, not so very long ago, that I got my negative ALS test results in the mail. I bawled and laughed, and we both celebrated no longer having that cloud hanging over us. We're having a baby! I try out the words, and they feel right.
It better be a boy, or I'm going to have to tail her on every date she has, which won't even happen until after she turns 30.
Stop. If it's a girl, she'll have you wrapped around her finger.
No way.
I've met you, and you might look big and tough, but it's all a front.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's only for you, baby.
He squeezes me tighter.
I'm so fucking happy.
Me too. He finally sets me down and holds my face between his hands.
I love you so fucking much.
He leans down to cover my mouth with his, and before our lips touch, I whisper back to him. Always and forever.
This concludes the reading of Take Me Back by Megan March. Copyright 2017. This book was read by Andy Arndt and Zachary Weber. You can learn more about Megan March at meganmarch.com. This unabridged recording was produced for Blackstone Audio in 2017 by Megan March, who holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audio, Inc. If you would like to obtain a monthly update telling you about new releases, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.downpour.com. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.